The gospel reading is found in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen as it at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I read about this congregation that carried on the tradition of presenting an outdoor living nativity each year for its community. They built a stable and had live animals. The church was in the center of town with a large fenced front lawn where the sheep and the goats and the other animals could roam freely. They had a large cast of costume characters, members of the church, shepherds and wise men and a host of angels. And of course, Mary and Joseph with the baby in the stable. Well, one year, the young men playing the roles of the Magi borrowed an incense burner from the local Catholic church, you know, like the priests used to create the smoke around the altar. Well, the idea was that as the three wise men trekked across the lawn to the manger, these mysterious magi from the east would surround themselves with the smoke of the incense to add a little mystical appearance and odor to the tableau. So these wise men gathered in the fellowship hall of the church to put on their costumes. They lit the incense and got it burning properly and waited for their cue. Unbeknownst to them, however, the smoke from the incense triggered the church's fire alarm, which sent an automatic alarm to the local fire station. And as it was time for these wise men to make their appearance, they walked across the lawn to the stable, carrying their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh with the smoking incense. And they were met by a group of firemen unrolling their fire hoses across the lawn, mingling with the shepherds and the sheep and the angels. Well, it wasn't long before the fire chief spotted the smoking pot of incense carried by the three wise men and quickly figured out the cause of the alarm. He was heard to use some very colorful language. "You stupid, dim-witted wise men, it was you who set off the alarm." Well, if we go back to the original story told by Matthew, the Magi did indeed set off an alarm. They went of all places to the palace of King Herod to inquire Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to pay him homage. Did they not know that this would set off alarm bells in the palace of the reigning king? To inquire about a rival king? Now, when Matthew wrote about the wise men coming from the east, searching for the child, he probably had the prophecy of Isaiah in mind, the passage which we used as our call to worship today. Isaiah writes a poem for the Jews who had been living in exile for generations in what is now the nation of Iraq. They had recently been given permission to return to Jerusalem, but their beloved city was in ruins. Who wants to live in a city where the walls and the watchtowers have been torn down, where there are no jobs or no schools, where no one seemed to know what to do? Well, in the middle of this mess and uncertainty, the prophet Isaiah, who himself lived through all this turmoil and destruction, invited his disheartened fellow citizens to look up and hope for better things to come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah anticipates the day when Jerusalem would once again become a beautiful, prosperous city. But it would be like dreaming of Detroit coming back into its former glory, or Camden or Newark becoming the best of New Jersey cities. Isaiah describes Jerusalem's economic recovery. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. A multitude of camels shall come bringing gold and incense. Caravans loaded with trade goods from Asia to invest in their growing economy and become allies with the most prosperous and powerful of nations. Well, the wise men had probably been reading about that. They knew something about the prophecy of Isaiah that Jerusalem would become a great city of light set on a hill. They were the scholars and the scientists of their time. They were astronomers who studied the stars. They were called magi because of their claim to have magical and fortune-telling powers. We might call them astrologers. Maybe they were the horoscope writers for the Baghdad Gazette. But they were considered educated for their time. They were the scientists. They studied the world's great religious texts, which would have included the history and the prophecy and the poetry of the Jewish people, which we call our Old Testament. So they knew the scriptures. And no doubt they were familiar with this text from Isaiah, predicting that the light of God's glory would shine on Jerusalem. Perhaps they read the prayer of Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God. May he defend the course of the poor and give deliverance to the needy. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. Maybe they saw themselves as fulfilling this prophecy of camels carrying the wealth of other nations to Jerusalem. They were intrigued by this promised new age of prosperity and peace and justice that would come to birth in Jerusalem under a new king. And so when one night they observed this spectacular star in the sky, they determined that it must be a sign of this new king's birth. And so they went riding on their camels or horses or whatever they brought with them across the desert to find this new king, bringing with them gifts fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But of course, when King Herod heard about this, he was frightened. his political power would be undermined by any new king. As a secular Jew, he didn't know much about the prophecies of the scriptures that the wise men knew about. And the people of Jerusalem were all frightened too, because you see, they were part of the power structure of the king, and they owned the wealth of the city. They didn't want to lose their privileged place in society. And any new king seemed like a threat to them. Now, looking ahead in the story, you know about the fury of King Herod and his horrific, murderous act to protect his power by ordering his henchmen to kill all the children in and around Jerusalem under the age of 2, hoping to kill this new king. Does it not cause us to shudder when we hear our own political candidates verbally attacking refugees and immigrants and those of other religions because they all seem to pose a threat, even children? Fear can cause people to do terrible things. As I said, the Magi set off alarm bells in the palace. In panic, King Herod called a consultation with the leading biblical scholars in the temple. He said to them, "Tell me about this prophecy of Isaiah. What's all this business about the birth of a new king and about caravans of camels bringing gold and frankincense? We have some visitors here from the east who seem to know more than we know." And so the scholars go to work and discover in their study of the scriptures that they have the wrong text. It's not Isaiah's prophecy of Jerusalem returning to its former glory. It's not one of King Herod's sons in line for the throne. With some fear and trepidation, these biblical scholars tell the king that they're looking in the wrong place. I imagine King Herod was rather defiant. "Well, then give me a better text so that we can find this new king." And nervously, they tell the king that the correct text is in the prophecy of Micah. "But you, O Bethlehem, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is of old." Now, Bethlehem was a little town about 9 miles south of Jerusalem, the big city. Its only claim to fame was that the great King David was anointed there by Samuel in the days of old. Otherwise, it was a rather unpretentious little country town surrounded by hillside pastures where shepherds grazed their sheep and farmers eked out a living from rocky soil to grow their crops. The wise men had missed their mark by only 9 miles, but it could have been 1,000. The new king was not to be born in a palace, but in a stable. I wonder what might have happened if those biblical scholars had not discovered the prophecy of Micah. They would have kept looking among the powerful and the prophecy and the prosperous for this new king. This new ruler would be unlike any other. He would have no political ambitions. He would not raise an army to defeat his enemies. He would not be rich. He would live among the poor. His kingdom would not be of this world, but of God's kingdom of justice and peace, a kingdom where concern for one's neighbors is more important than looking out for your own self-interests. And isn't it amazing that these wise men did not resist following these new directions to the little town of Bethlehem? They were willing to recalculate the direction of their journey. rather than pursuing their original quest to find wealth and fame and power in a royal setting, they recalculated their directions. They reoriented their lives around a child born to a poor family with no credentials of glory or fame. We could question the wisdom of these bumbling wise men when they went to King Herod to ask about the new king. Thankfully, they were warned in a dream of the evil intentions of King Herod, and after finding the child, they did not report back to King Herod. But they showed true wisdom when they were willing to believe the scriptures and follow a star, which for them was a divine revelation. Sometimes we look in the wrong places to find meaning and purpose in our lives. We're attracted to the places that promise wealth, success, security, self-sufficiency. But the king born in Bethlehem shows us another way of life that embraces very different values: humility, generosity, neighborliness, concern for the poor, and a trust in God to guide and direct us on a journey that leads to eternal life. The Magi are like traveling companions for us as we face a new year. Where is God leading us? What directions is God giving to us? And are we willing to recalculate our journey when we're headed in the wrong direction? It's like that little GPS gadget I have in my car. After setting my designation and I make a wrong turn, I hear that voice recalculating, and then I'm given new instructions to get back on the right road. Now, we don't have a GPS for our spiritual lives, but we have the scriptures to show us the way, and we have the sacraments to assure us that God is with us. On this first Sunday in the new year, let's recommit ourselves to following the light of God and God's direction. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.